When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, you know this song, Bart?
I heard it. I don't know it, but I've heard this song plenty of times. It's a classic.
Song about Africa. How do you not know this song? It's all you ever talk about.
Maybe it's a colonizer song. So
it's not a colonizer song. It's not. How dare you? Look at you always trying to twist it to a negative. You know, Jay-Z, there's this great mashup, Jay-Z, with this song. It's an incredible mashup. Is it okay for me to talk about Jay-Z, or is that also...
Is Jay-Z still cool?
I don't know. I'm asking, aren't you supposed to be able to tell me this? What are you doing right now?
He didn't get caught up in the Puffy stuff, did he?
No, I'm making sure, because I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I think we're still good.
You sure?
Jay-Z's still good for this week.
Just for this week?
Diddy riding around Miami on his bike all by himself. Like, where are your friends at, man? Everybody that was at these parties wilding out.
Well, the reason why we played that song is that's off of Toto 4, which was their fourth studio album, thusly named Toto 4. And Toto was the band from the 80s that made that song, Rosanna. Toto. There's a whole bunch of great songs off that album, and it just happened to be on this date in 1982, and so I asked Tom to play it because I love that album and because I wanted to see if you even knew the song called Africa.
I know it was called Africa, but this is one of those songs that if you watch
I Bless
enough
the Rain
80s
Down
movies,
in Africa. Yeah, that's what I Bless the Rain Down in Africa.
Mm. Yeah. So I tell you, I wonder, man, like.
What?
I forgot what I was about to say.
All right, well, you know what? While you're thinking.
I had a great point. I had a great, excellent point.
I bet you did. 800-919-3776. Tessa in West Caldwell, I know she always has a good point. How you doing, Tess?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What up?
Wait, who's doing all that yapping behind you, by the way? Who's
doing all this talking? That's our coworkers.
You said what?
Let them know.
Let who know?
Whoever's talking. Somebody was talking. Just like Bart's doing to me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's done now. Don't even worry about that. Because, I'm still working, and I still got to show y'all love. So, and plus, I'm going to have comments. So my first thing is this. Earlier, I was talking about the WNBA. Y'all was talking about, like, are people still going to watch because of the college basketball? Listen, they're not even on the same platform, and to me, that's not even right. They don't advertise the way they do the NBA or even sometimes men college basketball. They don't get the commercials. They don't get the endorsements. It's a lot of things why they're not on the same playing field. So to be honest with you, it's never going to be a fair assessment until they get that type of stuff. Like, Gatorade do be doing stuff, and sometimes Nike be doing stuff. But other than that, they get no commercials. They get nothing. So that's why a lot of times, even with the All-Star game, as corny as the All-Star game is because none of the NBA players ever play, that arena be packed just to see them. Like, I don't know, maybe Adam Silver could do something a little bit better to get, the WNBA more hyped up, because these college games was out of sight. These girls was balling. I understand they're not dunking like that, like how the men's is, but they be balling. And I'm going to be really honest with you. Like, it does upset me sometimes because they're just as talented. And then here we go with the same thing. Oh, it's because it's women, it's not men. Like, come on, knock off that narrative. They need to do a little better than that. So until they start really, really advertising, putting them on the same platform, they're never going to get sold out arenas like they're supposed to. It's never going to happen. So to me, that's a huge situation. So that's why I feel like some people might not transition and watch it in the summer. But I hope they do, because they ball just like the men ball. You know what I mean? Sometimes they fight even harder sometimes, because some of the men, they get to pay all this money and they don't really want to do what they're supposed to do, or they keep sitting out and they keep doing this and that, like whatever. But I'm a little I just wanted to, so what do you guys think about my take with that? Do you agree with me or no?
I mean, of course it's about the money, and it's about telling the stories and the backstories about these kids, and, for people to buy into them personally, right, to know who they are as people. And that only comes with being able to put them on a platform where they can explain who they are, where they come from, what their story is all about. We have the great players, and, people talk like Caitlin Clark and, Juju, like, are anomalies. Like, We had them before them. Like, that's my point. When you think about the Candace Parkers of the world, when you think about the Sue Birds and Tarazis, we've had, like, 100%. You know, great college players, Maya Moores of the world, dominant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we had all of that before. So sometimes a little bit with the Caitlin narrative, I'm like, yeah, right now, balling, number one right now. But no, it was plenty before you. It was plenty before you that put their stamp on this game and helped the WNBA even come to what it is. So I understand that's where she is right now, but a little bit when I heard it yesterday, they were like, oh, yeah, the best in history. Like, no, knock that off. Knock that off.
But they're treating her like she's Beyonce, right? They're treating her like Beyonce in country music. Like, K. Michelle ain't been doing country music for 4 years. Like, it ain't plenty of black
exactly.
people.
Like, yeah.
Like, hold up, because she did it and I was popping.
The coach you going against. The coach she's going against is one of the greats. So, like, what are you doing? So, you know, it's all about the narrative, guys, to me, what they're putting out. It's all about the narrative, what they're putting out. And sometimes that's what helps us and what doesn't help us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it took time. I think it took time, right? Like, now I feel like you got more girl dads, right, where, you know, it's okay to prove and show up and show love. You know, Kobe did a great thing for the women's game and his support. Yes. He gave it the seal of approval. And to your point, they may not be out there dunking, but I tell you what, that high-level shooting from beyond the three was as good as any college game that you're going
crazy.
To see, whether it's men or women. And I can argue that, you know, if you're watching the Pistons, it's better three-point shooters over there than got them on my Pistons team. You know what I mean?
100%. Even the blocking, like, they was blocking. Listen, that game was awesome. I was just like, oh, my God. They just keep stuffing. But it was just awesome. So I just hope it can get better. Because it deserves to be better, and it's a lot of little girls out here. Even before I got injured, I said, like, oh, my God, I want to go to WNBA. It's a lot of little girls out here that want to do that. So
but
I just really hope
more.
It does get the publicity and the platform that it really deserves so it can really blow up in the next, like, I don't know, decade, even more than what it is now.
Yeah, just think if a Goulier, or if I always say her name wrong, or Candace Parker didn't feel the pressure, you know, didn't have to work outside. And I know they love what they do, and they're building their careers after, but there's no, they shouldn't have to work and call 100%. Games and work for ESPN. They should be making enough money to train and recover and just basketball, unless that's what they want to do. They shouldn't be having to go over to Russia and go over there and play overseas. But to do that, it's going to have to be global support. And to do that, I think, you know, you can't think that it's going to be like the men and catch up where the men are at, because it was a point in time where the men's game, you know, they were getting taken off for high-end TV shows, right? And think about the final game. So it's not like the men's game didn't go through their adversity, but they lived up to expectations.
Well, we got to catch up to something. Same thing happened with tennis. Remember, Serena and Venus had to really fight for the women to even get equal play or close to it. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. It's almost like, you know, it's sad, but you just got to fight. It's like an uphill battle, but they can't give up, and they just need the right people and the right platform to fight for it and keep it moving. But I just had a quick question, too, about the Lakers. Like, last night, how LeBron had flu-like symptoms. Like, I don't even know about that. Like, I think you just needed to rest, but you tried to say flu-like symptoms. Like, whatever. But do you still think it's a shot for them to still make it back to the AFC? Because I don't want no part of that play-in. I don't want no part of it. So I feel like we got 4 games left with the remaining teams. I think we could still win out, or at least win 3 of the 4 and get back to the AFC. What you guys think?
Well, the AFC is still the play-in, though.
No, remember, it's not. I thought it was top 8. It's 7?
No. The play-in
play,
is 7 through
1.
10.
Yeah.
7 through 10, that's right.
Yeah. So what you know, where they are right now.
Win 1 or win 2.
They're in the 9th seed, but they're only a half game out of the 8th seed.
Eighth
you okay?
Seed.
You all right?
Yes. Yeah,
Bart, you okay?
Yeah.
Alan, give this man Heimlich. We need both of y'all.
No, apple cider vinegar. apple cider vinegar.
What are you doing? Alan, get over there and get him Heimlich. We need
No, I got apple cider vinegar inside my tea, and I took a sip, and it hit wrong.
It hit all right.
Why are you doing apple cider vinegar? Just get some seaweed and keep it moving.
Because I'm getting ready for the beach. Alan, see them
guns.
Right,
so just do seaweed. You don't need that apple cider vinegar stuff. That causes long-term effects. Just do the natural seaweed. Go get to a Caribbean store or 100% vitamin store and get you some real bona fide seaweed. The real one, not the gel capsules. You'll be good.
I got sea moss and apple cider.
What does seaweed do, by the way?
Oh, my goodness. It's literally everything in one, Alan. It's for immunity. It's for strength. It's for, like, cleansing, if you want to cleanse as well, like how Bart's trying to do because he's trying to get his summer bod, so he said, or whatever. It's for everything, Alan, if you look it up. But it got to be the natural
seaweed
one.
Seaweed or sea moss?
It looks almost like, kind of like, huh?
Seaweed or sea moss?
I'm sorry. CMOS.
Okay.
It looks almost like chunky applesauce almost.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's
oh, yeah.
the most blandest taste in the world. It tastes like cardboard.
Yeah, I make that by myself. I'd already do that. I make that myself.
Here's
a
funny thing.
And I blend it.
It sounds like something that would make me ill. So how keeps me from being sick.
It's sort of ironic, in a way. It's not. It's going to be good for your bones. Alan, you
got all that zinc in
chunky apple. What did you call it again?
It does
like
apple
chunky apples.
Yeah, when you grind it up, it's like gel.
It's grinded. It looks like chunky apple sauce, and it literally is like light like that. It's a little lighter than that.
It's trans.
And it really tastes like nothing. It tastes
I always feel better after I throw up, too, so maybe that's all this is about.
No, you put it in your smoothie.
Just to answer your question.
No, you put it in your smoothie. You put it in your smoothie.
Fine.
Just you can put it anywhere.
Just to answer your question, Tess. Yes, the Lakers actually do have a chance to get a top six. They could avoid the play-in. They more than likely have to win out. But they are only a game and a half back of the Suns. They would need help. Phoenix would have to lose. But they are right there as far as they could if things work out in their favor. More than likely, they will end up, you know, eighth. And they will have to play a play-in game. Now, if you're 7-8, you only have to win one. But if you're in the 9-10, you got to win two.
Two. I just don't want to play the Warriors because, you know, at the end of the day, you want to see the Warriors still in there. So if we're in the 8th seed, I think we don't play the Warriors. But if we, God forbid, drop to the 9th, that's when we would play the Warriors, correct?
Yes, you'd have to, right. And that's we had a question on Get Up. It was I'm going to give you three superstars. One of them's not making the actual playoffs. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry. Which one will it be?
I think, as it stands right now, I would say Steph Curry.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
Hater. Stop it, Bart.
Thank you, Tess. Hater. Good to talk to you as always.
LeBron James.
You guys should just have your
LeBron
own
podcast. LeBron James.
Just have your own podcast. It'd be really funny. 800-919-3776. Griffin in Connecticut. Hi, Griffin.
Griff. Come on, you a mainstay. You know how this work.
Yeah. He has on mute. All right, but we'll let him go. He knows the number.
They're getting ready for the eclipse. They're like trying to move their chair.
He knows the number, so he knows how to get us back. We'll continue. We have lots of calls to get to, which is great. 800-919-3776. We got Sean in New Brunswick. Sean.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call.
What's happening?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to say that, you know, I was agreeing with you all when you were saying Brunson and moving without the ball and your conversation with Mike Breen last night. And I wanted to ask you how you feel about maybe Hartenstein, I believe. Hartenstein, I'm not sure how to say it correctly.
Hartenstein.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of being like the point center type, like a Jokic or a Draymond, where you kind of run the offense through him once Brunson passes half court. You let him kind of run around the floor, open up space for Dante on the wing. Brunson catches at the top of the key off of a pick and roll type situation, so he's not getting blitzed the moment he crosses half court, especially in the playoff scenario where you know they're going to key in on him. You got seven games potentially. You're seeing the same opponent back-to-back-to-back. And they're going to obviously key in on him. So how do you feel about maybe Hartenstein being kind of the focal point of the offense?
Yeah, I think that's in the playbook, Sean. I do. I think you've seen it sometimes. They don't employ it a ton because what you don't want to have happen is they just start face guarding Brunson and then it gets harder to get him the ball back, right? So there are times you'll see him get the ball somewhere in the high post area, and then he'll operate. He's a terrific passer, and we've seen him make some really good passes. There was a game recently, I think he had like 8 or 9 assists. So it's in his bag, and I think it's in the playbook. I do think it's a matter of what the matchups are and what fits the best. But Sean, it's certainly a good observation on your part. Let's see, AB in Brooklyn. AB.
Hey, what's going on, Alan? Bart, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Hey, Alan, I just got a question because a lot of people are not speaking about this. I don't think Leon Rose is getting enough love for potentially being executive of the year. When you look at some of the contracts that the Knicks have and how cheap they are as far as being below market average with Hartenstein, DiVincenzo, even Brunson and Randall, and that contract that they signed Deuce McBride to. Man, I looked up Peyton Pritchard's getting 4 for 30, and I will argue Deuce is a better player than him. and a more integral rotation player. So, I mean, I know the media has a New York bias sometimes, the national media. So I'm just wondering, should he get the love that he needs? And also, I just think that OG Anunoby can still help us get to the conference finals. The job he did on Giannis in the second half, you finally got somebody with some size and some length to guard a Giannis and a Tatum in the playoffs. Not saying that they will beat Boston, but I think he will make the series a lot more competitive.
I think you're right. I mean, he was so good on Giannis in the second half last night. If you were watching the game, you could just see it. I mean, he had four steals and two blocks. He forced three turnovers on him. I mean, just one-on-one coverage. He was excellent. The executive of the year thing is interesting because you're right in the sense of what the Knicks have built, right, and what they have done with the roster and what they're paying guys who are playing above the pay grade. But if I'm going to guess who's going to win executive of the year, it's got to be Sam Presti of the Thunder. Oklahoma City is playing for the number one seed in the West. They have a guy who has developed that he traded for that has developed into an MVP. He drafted Jalen Williams, who has turned into a fantastic player. He's going to be an all-star easily. Chet Holmgren's playing his rookie season this year, and he's been good. They have a great bench, and he has built that team with a shoestring budget. I imagine while Leon Rose should definitely get consideration, my guess is that Sam Presti will be the one that – gets the majority of the votes. He's been there a long time. He's been building that thing for a number of years. And I just think people will recognize the work that he's done there. But just saying it alone, from what the Knicks have done, getting through injuries, finding players, the development that the coaching staff has done, I think that Tibbs should also be considered one of the among Coach of the Year. I don't think he'll win it, but he definitely should be getting votes for Coach of the Year.
Well, that just also speaks to the fact that the Knicks, and even if they're in consideration for some of those awards, signals to the next star, if they want to, hey, I want to try and get myself to New York. So like you said, three stars aren't going to make it to
run,
the
– Yeah, right?
Yeah. You said three stars aren't going – one of them not going to make it to the postseason. Well, that one person is Kevin Durant. He may want out. You know what I'm saying?
Cause I would watch that.
To think you're going to win a championship – and don't make it into the playoffs
with that
squad because Bill can't stay healthy. Oh, hell no. Get me up out of here, man.
I would watch that situation, but I got a new one for you. It's an old new one. Can I bring a name back into the fold?
We got a new one?
Yeah.
Let me guess. Let me look at you, see what you're talking about. All right. I have no idea.
No idea. I'm going to bring a name back into the conversation, and it's not Donovan Mitchell. Yesterday, did you watch the Clippers-Cavaliers game?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what Paul George did?
Well, you know Paul George, yeah.
He scored 23 points in the fourth quarter. He ended up with 39. And the Clippers were the Clippers looked dead in the water again. They looked bad. They were down by 26 at one point to the Cavs. Cavs been on the road for a week, right? Clippers are at home. And Paul George was like, all right, enough of this, and just turned it up and played at that level that, you know, a guy like him just gets to. No Kawhi, he's out again, you know, resting the sore knee. And Paul George played 44 minutes, 39 points, 23 in the fourth quarter, and he comes back and they win the game. He scores the game winner with 7 seconds to go. Then he blocks a potential game winner, blocks the shot with his defense. He played phenomenally. And, like, remember last summer, there was some talk about
– I didn't want him.
Them trading for Paul George, and then it was, well, you had to give him a full max extension, and that just sort of, like, it died down. What if he's like, yeah, I'm not about him. I'm not about James Harden. I'm not about this. I can't sit around waiting for Kawhi to play. And maybe he, you know, maybe something opens up.
But that's why Philadelphia is in the running for Paul George. And like I said, you know, they can afford that max because they lost James Harden. And that's what you get afraid of.
Tobias Harris that they'd have to move on from that would open up cap space.
Yeah, I mean, but Tobias Harrison is like that. Like when you got to be the wingman, it's like, all right, how is she? She all right. But I'd take one for the team. He's never been the star that we thought he was going to be. You know what I mean? We thought he – and he has decent numbers, but it's just – he's not a – he doesn't feel like a star.
But you don't need him to be in yeah, in either the Philly situation or the New York situation. He wouldn't have to come in and be the man. Now, he's 30 – he'll be 34 next year. But he's got the player option this summer. And that's where
– you know he coming out. He going to test the market.
I'm just saying. Like, it's something to watch. It's something to watch. Just another name.
But it's crazy because you know the likely characters are going to be involved in it.
As always.
Miami.
As always. You're right.
Right?
He's playing this right because at 33, 34 years old, to expect a four-year max, that's a hard thing to do, right? Like most people are like, not that old. I'll give you, you know, maybe I'll give you two plus, but I'm not giving you four. But if you've got enough teams
two with a player option
vying for it, then maybe it does work out, right? So, but he, you talk about a fit, another guy that you would say, oh, he'd be a great fit, you know? So there's, you know, I watched that last night. I thought, okay, he's still got a lot left in the tank. No question about it. All right, we got a lot of calls left as well on 800-919-3776. So we'll continue talking with you and getting to the headlines in today. And coming up just a little after 2 o'clock, the eclipse begins. Around 3:30, it'll hit its peak. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a substantial partial eclipse here in our area. But it's going to be significant enough to enjoy as long as you don't stare right at it. But it'll last, you know, like I said, it's going to last a couple hours and it'll start during our show. So that'll be going on a little bit later on in the power hour, the solar hour. But next up, you know what time it is. It's time for audio files. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, for so long, the question was, when will Julius Randle return? Last week, we found out the answer was he's not returning this year. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, guys said despite that win against the Bucks yesterday, not having Randle is going to be tough for the Knicks in the postseason.
Not having Julius Randle is going to be tough. And I know it has been in the playoffs yet. I know against Atlanta wasn't very good. And then last year, as he's dealing through battling through an injury, wasn't great. But that's still 25-10 that you're missing and a legitimate offensive threat.
Absolutely.
That the team has to take account of.
And when the game turns into a half-court, grinded-out postseason game, having a guy like Julius Randle would be a tremendous advantage. Both, I mean, it's another six fouls. He can give you 20-plus points. He's a good rebounder. I mean, there's so many pieces that you're going to miss without having him.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it is Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it is the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
See, now this is the other hit. Actually, there was three of them off total four, just so you know. You know anybody named Rosanna?
Never ran into a Rosanna in my life.
You never met a Rosanna? Never. I need somebody. I need you to call if you know a Rosanna and you sang this song to her.
I mean, see if you got the number.
Tom,
too.
You
got
to keep that rolling, man. I'll pay the fine. Like, you got to keep that going.
Tom, say don't threaten him with a good time.
Hit that note, Bart. Hit that note.
Rosanna.
See, this
is, is Rosanna a made-up name or is it a real person name?
It's actually a song about a real person. Actually, I think it's an actress. I think that has the story goes. Do we know this story, Ray? You must know this story.
No, I don't. Toto, Africa, that's my extent of knowledge.
That's
of
all
Toto.
You got? There is a no, there is a story. It is about it's Rosanna Arquette. That's right. It was about her, Rosanna Arquette.
Dang, I hope he got.
She was
girl.
In. She was in her. She was a young actress at the time, and
I hope he got that.
Just
man.
Loved her.
I hope they hooked up.
I don't know.
Make a song about her. And you don't even. You know what I'm saying? Be her man. That's some creep ball stuff.
It's not. It's not. I don't think it's creep.
You make a song about her. You don't even close the deal, and like she don't even rock with you after you made a song about her. That's like Travis Kelce coming out and saying he got a thing for Taylor Swift and him not never hooking up with her.
Yeah, it was inspired by Rosanna Arquette, who's.
Did he get that?
They just they loved her.
No, did he get that? So you write a whole song and ain't nobody gonna be her boyfriend? I write a whole song about you, dog, and I profess like how much I rock with you.
Actually, the keyboardist.
Okay, the keyboardist snuck up in there. Yeah, I'm
reading this whole thing as fast as I can while trying to not have dead air, or have you just do the whole donkey from Shrek thing while I'm reading. And it sounds like that they had a pretty good relationship going.
No, that
so he had a
band.
Song. It didn't have a name, and then he named it Rosanna.
So the dude had a thing for the keyboardist girl.
No. He wrote the song.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No. You think the lead singer made it? You think this is like a Jesse's Girl thing all over again?
I wonder exactly. I wonder who came first. Who came first? Did the song come first, or did the girl?
She
come
was
first?
Dating the keyboard player named Steve Porcaro. He didn't write the song. It was written by the lead singer, who was always looking for good ideas for lyrics.
Yeah, but always looking at Rosanna.
And so, Rosanna was about like a puppy love thing.
Yeah.
And he had some other name in there, but then when Steve was dating Rosanna, he was like, let's call it Rosanna. And that's what they did, and it just sounded really good.
He's like, yo, man.
By the way, she also really had a relationship with Peter Gabriel.
Damn.
Actually also dated Paul McCartney.
Man, Rosanna was all on these streets, man. Rosanna was all in these streets, man. Change the song, dog. We going to change that. You ain't going to be sitting up here collecting all these famous celebrity bodies, and you know what I'm saying?
Hey. All I want to do when I wake up in the morning is see your eyes.
Who the hell was Rosanna?
I don't know if it's just your eyes.
Was she Erykah Badu?
She might have been.
Man.
You've never seen Rosanna Arquette?
No.
Need to Google.
Okay, I'll do that right now, son. You ain't saying nothing to me. Is she like Vanity?
You got to look like back in the 80s, remember, because she's in her 60s now, I believe.
That don't mean nothing.
Well, it does.
I'm just equal opportunist.
I know you are. That is true. So while you're Googling that.
How you spell Rosanna?
R-O-S.
Okay.
Google it.
I put up R-O-S A-N-N-A. And Rosa Parks came up, son.
Did it?
Yeah. So
that's
I need
in your algorithm, I guess.
Well, my mother's middle name is Rose.
The next letter is Rosanna.
Hold on. No. Is it? Okay. So you go there. Okay. So is I like to buy a vowel. A.
Yes.
Bing.
Arquette.
Okay, let me spin again. See, now Rosalind Carter came up, and Rosario Dawson.
Okay.
And Rosary.
A-R.
So I like the roll. I'll take it.
A-T-T-E.
Hold on, what?
Anna. How do you spell Anna?
Oh, okay, I'm going to go with
an
N.
It's one word, Rosanna.
A.
This is a struggle.
Arquette. Ooh, she's a blondie.
Yes. Remember, she's about 60-something, I'm guessing.
On every picture, she looked high. It was the 70s. Everybody
so funny
was
how I just do R-O-S and immediately she comes up.
Oh yeah, she was definitely a rock girl's girl.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She was about that get on the bike, on the back of the motorcycle life. Damn, she got three bodies, man. Who got her last? I want to know who got her first and who got her last.
Desperately Seeking Susan. Was she in that with Madonna?
Who got her first? That's the thing. Like, because, like, you know, like, somebody get with her and it's like a celebrity relationship. And then some other dude, like, yo, she bad, B. And then, like, so now you got another famous dude plotting on your girl. Hmm. And then I mean, the keyboarders, probably
just how it went. That's all.
Who's the highest profile person she dated?
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
I can't imagine you get anything higher up on the chain than a Beatle.
So you're like, you want to be with the keyboarders? I'm the lead man, baby, of the Beatles.
Yeah, but
come on now.
But you don't
go
know
ahead,
what
go
he's
ahead,
all
give
about.
Him, go ahead, give him a call, man.
Why do you have a problem with the keyboard? Is there something wrong with the keyboarders?
No, like, I'm just telling you how dudes hate. They're like, come on, man. Like,
you mean like trying to?
Yeah, like you're a leading lady, baby. You need to be with the head man. You can't be with no keyboarders. Come on, man. He ain't even in the credits. Don't nobody know who the hell the keyboarders is. What's up?
I'm trying to see like what she did back then that made her so famous. She wasn't in anything too big back then. She was on Eight Is Enough for a little bit.
Desperately
Seeking Susan was like the first big movie she did.
She must have carried herself in a way that said, hey, man, the Lord is my shepherd. He know what I want.
And you know what he wants right now?
Audio files.
The audio file.
Yes, he does. Oh, man. Well, while the men play tonight, the women's championship in college basketball was won yesterday by South Carolina. It was a great game. Caitlin Clark's career does end. And for Caitlin Clark, I mean, it was an unbelievable start to the game. I think she had 18 points in the first quarter, but then that South Carolina defense locked in, and they just took it from there and got the win. Caitlin Clark laid her jersey on the ground and put in the locker room, put a sneaker next to it, took a picture of it, put it on Instagram, and just said, I'll miss y'all. Like, very, very subtle. She did not make it about her, which I thought was great.
Bro, that's like Kobe Mamba-ish. Like, they do that.
No, but the bottom line is that she walked off the court. She did her little heart thing that she does to her parents, and then she left. She did not turn it into anything emotional. You barely saw her shedding tears. Dawn Staley, she cried a ton after that championship. Meant the world to her. An undefeated season, a perfect season, and yet another championship for her in South Carolina. But while everybody was talking about, and you heard Tessa doing it, all the attention being brought to the women's game, some took exception to the fact that Caitlin Clark was getting credit for the attention that was being paid to the women's game, and Dawn Staley put a stop to that.
I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome, awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's going to lift that league up as well. So, Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
And I think her making a point to say that was very important, because I felt like that was an unnecessary debate. That would be like, to me, that would be like if Wilt Chamberlain said, you know, everybody's giving Jordan all the credit for lifting the NBA up. What about me? What did I, you know, like, no, if somebody comes along that does take a sport or a league or whatever and just bring it to a whole new level. And that's what Caitlin Clark has done for the sport, that she should be appreciated for, because I think she's handled so much of it with class and dignity. She has never made it about herself.
The proof's in the ratings, right? Like, we can actually look at the numbers. The proof's in the ratings. Whether you say why, and like the haters would say, oh, that's because they're only doing this because of her color. Maya Moore was just as good of a diamond player, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, man. Miss me with that. Let's just talk about, listen, she's the reason why the sport has been elevated. I thought it was important for Dawn Staley to give her the credit, because although, you know, South Carolina was the best team all year, the story has been how you know, Clark continues to defy the odds and break these records and perform at a high level and never really giving us a bad game. I can't think of one bad game that she's ever had. It may start off slow. People can talk about, oh, she takes ill-advised shots. But, man, she is a person that plays on a high level, and she's a showman, right? She got her team involved. The things that she does, the jump to the left, step back, throw it up. You know, the high-pressure shots, under pressure, her shot-making ability. You have to tip your cap to her.
And then we'll see where things go now in the WNBA. The men play tonight. We'll have plenty of coverage after the fact. So we'll do a lot of the men's stuff tomorrow. So we'll move on. But more basketball. This was last night also. This is Milwaukee. The Knicks come away with a big win in Milwaukee. They were down 11 at the half. They come back and win the game with a huge third quarter. And Jalen Brunson, once again, just a magnificent performance, 43 points. He's averaging like 37 a game against the Bucks in five games this season. He's lighting them up. So
game time.
And this Knicks team plays, they play hard. I mean, they had got diving on the floor, the defense that they were playing, the threes they were knocking down, a total team effort. And Jalen Brunson was the interview at the end of the game with Mike Breen and myself. And Mike asked him, like, what is it that brings this team so close? What is it that makes this team so close?
We low-key hate each other, but we like each other. We always joke on each other. We always find something to make fun of the other person. And so somehow that turns into great team chemistry. That's our makeup right now.
Now, it sounds like he's not kidding. We low-key hate each other. What he means is not like in the sense of hate, but more like what he said at the end. We rip on each other. You could say anything in this locker room. Guys don't take offense to it. Nobody's got thin skin around here. We are comfortable enough with each other that we could say anything. And at times, hold each other accountable. And then we know, like everybody understands, though, that it comes from a place of love. There is something special with this group, Bart. And you know you have that when you can talk that comfortably in a room with teammates and know that nobody's going to pout or get upset. There's not going to be any clicks. Like, this is a nice thing to see how this group comes together. And I've been around them on the road enough to see that it's genuine.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you've three former teammates in college, you understand what type of bonds are forged when you go through that together, winning championships together. You know, the culture that has been cultivated, you know, you talk about the players that they've brought in, but they've all had that similar – you know, mindset, understand that defense, you're going to play defense. That's how you get on the court with Tibbs and buying in. And, like, everybody's secure who they are. You know, and everybody understands that nobody cares who gets the credit. And that's the beauty of this team, that, you know, they're just here for the end goal. And they realize that when we win, we all eat.
Yeah, well, like they ate last night, that's for sure. On to baseball. Speaking of eating, so you remember when Giancarlo Stanton started out 3-for-24? He had struck out 13 times. People were saying, this guy's done. He's cooked. Get him out of here. And it's typical, the, you know, like Aaron Boone is just like, you know, things come in bunches for him. He hits one, he's going to hit a bunch. Well, guess what? He's hitting a bunch. Back-to-back games over the weekend, he hit home runs, including a grand slam to break open a game against the Blue Jays. They won that game.
Got a salami?
Yes. Yeah, he did. So they win that game 8-3. The Yankees are now 8-2 on the season. And for Stanton, like just that home run, just starting to find rhythm. And, you know, as usual, he hit it a mile.
Just try to get something over the plate. You know, he was touching the corners pretty well. So, yeah, just had to battle and make sure I gave myself a chance to get any RBIs.
I mean, do you really ever, like guys like this, Bart, right? And no matter what the sport is, you kind of know that even when they're going through slumps, they're just the type of people that they get one, they all of a sudden, like I've never seen it. Some guys, you make one, now I'm hot. You know how most of the time it's like, you got to hit three or four, now I'm hot. No, he hits one, oh, I'm hot. And it's just, he starts to get on a roll, and that's how Stanton has been. So it was a good weekend for him.
Well, like you said, they're going to need his bat, like, you know, at times. You know, guys are going to be in slumps, but they got so much talent, you know, on this team that when one guy's slumping, somebody else could be carrying the team.
Right.
You know, start off with Soto, Judge to get hot, and start being
Rizzo,
playing in the league. Yep. Rizzo, you know, and that's, you know, Volpe's playing well.
He's been great.
And that's just what you – that's the beauty of, like, the depth that this team has, that you feel like, hey, man, you know, we don't just have, you know, home run or bust. You know, these guys are contact hitters as well, and they hit in the discipline that Soto – I think Soto's going to raise everybody's level because his approach. You know, these guys all have pride, and I'm sure they're happy for Soto playing well, but they're like, hold up, don't forget about me. So I think it – you know, iron sharpens iron, you know what I mean? So I think that's what we have going on. With the competitive advantage.
All right, quickly here, Malik Nabers talking about possibility of playing in New York.
That's a decision that, you know, is going to have to be placed, you know, when I hear my name called, you know, especially since I don't know where I'm going. So going to New York, you know, it wouldn't be a bad, you know, bad idea. Quarterback situation, I know, you know, they're going to figure it out, especially, you know, if they got a caliber receiver coming like me, you know, they're going to want to give me the ball. So I'm sure they're going to want to have a quarterback that can do that.
That's from CBS Sports. So he's clearly talking about the Giants. Very interesting the way he phrased that, right?
No quality quarterback. We already got
he's like,
there,
quarterback, well, they're going to have to figure that situation, there, right? Like, they're going to have to figure that out. Like, that a very interesting take that he has there on the Giants. Last but not least in audio files, and this is something we need to break off and talk more about, Bill Barnwell.
Oh, God.
Noted Jets hater. Noted Aaron Rodgers hater, right? He is on record on ESPN Radio, said this about the Jets.
I believe they are a team that is right now the best team in the AFC East because of what has happened to the Dolphins, where teams spent more money on Dolphins players than any other team in football this free agency, in terms of the Bills having to make significant cutbacks because of their cap situation, and because the Jets have been able to add pieces to their roster. This is not the Aaron Rodgers best friends all-star roster that we saw last year. They're a much better roster on paper.
Wow. Bill Barnwell on board with the Jets?
No, ain't no space. Get off.
What do you mean ain't no space?
No, we ain't got no space on this bandwagon.
I'll tell you what, when the haters are giving you credit, you trust it because what other reason would they have?
Yeah.
Other than to be honest. He's being honest. He's saying this is not the Aaron Rodgers, you know, this is not hashtag, you know, Aaron's friends. This is the pieces that they added while other teams in the division lost pieces. And so he's recognizing what you and I were trying to say and nobody else wants to hear. They should play that. Bill Barnwell should go on, get up and talk to all those clowns that argue with you that day.
Yeah, but but also, you know, we'll see what happens when you say not Aaron Rodgers' boys. When they bring over Bakhtiari to be the backup.
I'm all right with that. I still think that needs to happen. All right. That is Audio Files, 800-919-3776. We can talk more about what Barnwell had to say and more with you coming up. But first, Bart, tell me a little bit about PanCan, huh?
Oh, man. PanCan Pride Side is the ultimate walk to end pancreatic cancer. If you or a loved one has ever been affected by pancreatic cancer, Purple Stride is the event for you. Your participation in fundraising makes all the difference in advancing progress for patients. Join the movement on Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. at the South Street Seaport Pier 17. Register for free today at purpleside.org/New York. That's purplestride.org/New York.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Tom found the third single off of Toto 4. And somehow we're just playing a lot of Toto songs today.
Hey, man, stop it. This is on Tom's playlist. Like, we front like he, like, discovered. This is how he rolls.
Tom, do you listen to Yacht
Tom's
Rock?
Tom's an old young man.
I don't think this is him. This is not Tom.
This would
Tom
not,
is
this
like
would not
Slipknot.
Be me.
Like Tom listens to, like, I could see, what was his name? The ESPN reporter. He did that great commercial.
That was John Clayton.
Yes. Remember? Like, I think that Tom has that, like, John Clayton is his spirit animal kind of thing, where it's just speed metal. Right or wrong, Tom?
That's correct.
Do you see? See, Bart? It's the quiet ones. You always got to watch out.
Tom, your flannel shirts don't suggest that you're like a slaphead. You know what I'm saying?
Don't suggest.
Like, it seemed like I never seen you in a leather jacket. I never seen you in a hoodie. You know what I'm saying?
But why does he have to dress the part to be the part?
Because it's a lifestyle, man.
Does it have
to be, though? It's not a genre.
Maybe he doesn't want to be a poser.
I think Tom, when he goes home, probably puts on chaps.
How dare you? You got to be careful.
Leather chaps,
don't
vest.
Don't make it uncomfortable.
He probably got the not the motorcycle, but the three wheel motorcycle with the little buddy thing on the side. Because he's living in the middle, man. He in between. You know what I'm saying? You gotta go. You gotta commit, man.
No, I disagree.
Okay.
Tom doesn't want to speak for himself.
Tom, you should let me and Alan do a celebrity makeover for you. Let us go do.
And how is this exactly going to go, Bart?
So we're going.
I know exactly how it's
going to go. We're
going
to style your hair like the punk rocker you are, right? No. So we're going to get your hair done.
No.
Age appropriate cut.
No.
For the genre. No, for the vibe, right? Then we're going to get you some rocker clothes. We're going to go somewhere. I think you should have all black, and we got to paint your fingernails.
And he needs to have, like, eyeliner, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I'm good. Thanks, so.
You don't want any of that?
No, not the eyeliner.
That doesn't sound appealing to you. It's shocking.
Not the eyeliner. Not the nail polish. Not any of that.
No?
We got to get you more golf. Golf, right?
Golf?
It's a golf?
Like Jared?
Yeah, is it like golf? ain't that the genre? Like, ain't that the move? Like gothic?
Yes, gothic. Yeah.
Yeah, so goth.
I don't know if speed metal is goth, though. I think it's just psycho.
That's what I'm saying. Give him some blood makeup on going down the side of his face.
When's that eclipse coming? Maybe in about 10 minutes or so, it'll start to begin. So if you're out in it, let's all watch together. And then don't look at it, though. But we'll watch, but we won't look at it. Whatever it is, we're going to do it.
I bet somebody's going to look at it.
I'm sure.
Because how do we know we're gonna go blind? Remember, they was like, "Don't look Medusa in the eyes," and then one person, like, they always look.
There's like there's damage to the retina that you can do.
That
if
you can
stare
do,
at the sun, so you just shouldn't do it.
Hold on, you don't stare.
It's extra bright.
Hold on, is it just to stare at the sun? I stare at the sun all the time.
Well, no, today's because in the midst of an eclipse, there's like there's some type of a blinding light because of. Whatever's happening.
Because
I'm not smart enough to be explaining it. Yes, because
there's
of the moon.
Non-visible rays that come off of the sun that will burn your retina.
There you go.
And just because the sun is not as bright because the moon is covering it, those rays will still come and burn your retina.
Man, I've been looking at them rays since I was a kid.
That explains the reading.
I always stare at the sun, B.
And now we know why.
But that's why you wear glasses, man. You don't get your eyes no exercise. You always got them in perfect situations, man.
Stevie wears glasses, too.
And why does he wear sunglasses?
Who, Stevie? So people can't tell that he's looking at the girl's butt? Stevie ain't blind, man. You heard Shaq talk about when he came on the elevator. He was like, hey, what's up, Shaq? He's like, hold up, man. How the hell you know it was me?
This has been a hell of a day so far.
You can always sense that presence.
Can only imagine what the power hour will be like. Stay with us, Barton Hunt, 98.7.
The solar hour.
ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, even though the Yankees had gotten off to a good start, there were times in those first few games when Giancarlo Stanton looked completely lost. But then a home run on Saturday, a grand slam yesterday, and all of a sudden things looking a whole lot better for the slugger from Aaron Boone.
Yeah, it was a jolt. You know, one of those, you know,
right away, and I know I reacted to it. Just a really good at-bat, obviously an inning that we built, and guys just had really good at-bats in front of them to set that situation up, and got a pitch that he didn't miss and turned out to be the blow of the day. But, you know, he's been in the at-bats, you know, all year is kind of what I've been seeing, just not getting the results yet, having some swing and miss in there. But, you know, obviously the last couple days, good to get some results and big-time blow today.
Boone, courtesy of the Yes Network. And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it is the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.